2008 lectures, lesson 18, the finale. The finale is sort of a gathering place of getting all of our thoughts together on putting our body in mind, our spirit in mind, our thought in mind, everything in mind. How do we put everything in mind? How do we take the whole thing that we have discussed this past week now and gather it all together and make it in one lovely package that we can use in our everyday experience? Now, I oftentimes have children who come around, and the thing that I say with these children at all times is, like yourself. Like yourself and do everything to others as you would have them do it to you, just like you like them to do it to you. If you like children to share their toys with you, you share your toys with them. If you'd like other people to smile at you, you smile at them. If you'd like other people to say nice things about you, you say nice things about them. If you want the rest of the world to look at you and see a beautiful person, then you look at them and see them a beautiful person. Because you cannot have beautiful people in your world if you do not create them. And you have to create them by your thought, by your attitudes, by your way of handling things. Now, there is no room in our heart ever, at any time, for being unhappy. There's no room in our heart ever, at any time, for being angry. There's no room in our heart at any time for being anything other than absolutely unconditional love. No. I say this to the children. Go out and unconditionally love everybody. How do you do that? Don't judge them. Just say, hi, I like you. Let's play. And this is what I suggest to each of us. That we go out now into our world and say to the world, hi, I like you. Let's play. No. Or anything that means that. No limitation, no judgment, no feeling that the other person has to change to be who you are. But you will not create anybody in your world who is not absolutely one with you. You will not create anybody walking into your door who is not totally harmonious with you. If you create people in your world who have any mental, social, or physical problems, what you have done, you have used your sympathy, your feeling sorry for yourself, to demonstrate in somebody else. And that's sort of a wasteful thing for you to do. But as always, if we remember everything is created by us, everything is created by our thought for our experience in life, everything, no matter what. It doesn't matter if there's wealth, we create that. If there's health, we create that. If there's happiness, we create that. If there's friendliness by the type of people we associate with, we create that. And now, the world we live in. If the world we live in is a friendly place, we create that by our loving thoughts. We look at everybody and say, hi, nice to see you. They might be different in 100 ways, but we say, hi, it's nice to see you. We don't walk over to the tables or chairs or whatever where people sit who are crippled. We don't do that. We walk over to people who are out doing things. It might be a crippled person who's working around the track with their wheelchair. It might be a crippled person who's catching ball or something. We do not speak with crippled people who do not want to see themselves whole and perfect. You understand? If they don't want to see themselves whole and perfect, we are not going to fight their battle with them. Anyone who wants to see themselves whole and perfect, that's our creation. And we're in there 100%. So, you tell this to people. I counsel sometimes with classes of crippled children. I was president of the Crippled Children's Society for many years. But I counsel with classes of crippled children. And in counseling with them, I say to them, nobody gives a darn about you. Nobody cares whether you're sick or well. Nobody cares whether you're happy or unhappy. Everybody just cares that you like yourself. And if you like yourself, they think you're wonderful. It doesn't make any difference what your problem is, not one little bit. Because they don't have that problem. You do. Now, if you make yourself a problem by thinking you have a problem and you can't associate with other people, then that's your choice. And I said, now come on. Sparkle. Sparkle.
But I don't feel like sparkling. I got this. I got...
Hey. It doesn't matter what you got. Nobody cares. Nobody cares what you got. People just care who you are. And if you are a likable, joyous, happy person, people like that. If you are a person who feels sorry for yourself, nobody likes it. Oh, for a little while they might. For a little while they do. I know Ingeborg, she takes care of people who feel sorry for themselves for a little while. But after a while, I notice she disappears. She goes somewhere else. She closes her bedroom door and takes a nap. Sometimes Ingeborg will sleep for 4 or 5 hours in the middle of the day because she's avoiding something. I say, Ingeborg, don't do that. Get out there and face it. Just tell whoever it is that you're not their waiter. Tell them that you want to let them carry their own books. And they do. Now, this is what I tell these children who are in some way discouraged by their bodies or minds or soul. And as I do this, they sit up and take notice. They say, but I am criminal, I do have this. I said, so what? If you're dead, so what? The world would just say, they're dead, bye-bye. And they wouldn't worry about you. They wouldn't be concerned at all. They just say, bye-bye.
Yeah, but nobody cares about me.
That's right. Nobody cares about you except you. When you care about yourself, then isn't that interesting? Everybody cares about you. When you like yourself, everybody seems to come up and talk to you. Everybody seems to have an interest in you when you like yourself. But when you don't like yourself, nobody cares. Nobody wants anything to do with you. So, when you put these principles in motion, just remember that you put the principle in motion in a positive, dynamic way. And in that positive, dynamic way, you say, I like me. I'm divine order. I'm peace. Seville, what do you say?
I like me. I am divine order. I am peace.
Now, what other one would you say?
Divine right action.
Okay. Anybody else?
I am whole and perfect.
I am whole and perfect. Beautiful. Okay, another one? I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body. Or what?
Yeah. What? I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body.
All right. Manuel?
I sleep in the now.
Whoa, you like those short ones, don't you? I live in the now. Isn't that a powerful one? I live in the now. It's the only time there is. Yes?
Yes. I am a king in my world. I rule my life and my world. And I am eternally youthful, vibrant, and alive. Now and always.
Those are a lot of contrary statements, unfortunately. You are saying something that you really don't believe. If you are a king, you don't say you're a king. That's why we say, I am whole and perfect. I am divine. I am, we don't say, I am a king, divine by birthright and stuff like that. You see, that puts you into the superiority node. And you see, all of you like to play that game. You come out of the British heritage and you're princess so forth and you're queen so forth and you're prince so forth and what have you. And that's a joke. That's a joke. You don't act like that. You don't act like a prince or princess. You act like an ordinary person. And if you're going to act like a prince, if you're going to take the name of a prince, you better act like it. You better be not playing with the commoners. If you want to be a prince, you better be playing with who? The divine. You better be playing with the royal family. And who's in the royal family?
Myself.
Yeah, yourself. And who are you in there? I am my original purity, integrity. I am all these things. Now, but I say, the general goal and direction of your statement is charming and powerful, but It's one that acts superior. It acts superior to the world and to everybody. And soon, if you say it out loud at all, you won't be enjoyed by anybody. But if you say it quietly, you won't be enjoyed by anybody, because you have that, I am a king, I am a prince, I am the, you know, we have that haughtiness about us, and it takes us out of the realm of conceivability for you. And I want you to do something in conceivability, but I want it to be inconceivable in conceivability. When you say, I am my original purity, integrity, I live in my divine spirit, mind, and body, and things like that, you see. And when you say that, that itself is royal and noble sufficient. But your phrases are all right. A unity use them a lot. Excuse me.
How do you take charge? You say you are in charge of your world and your life divine. You are in charge of your life. You take responsibility. You are in charge of your affairs, your life, and all that.
Well, to be perfectly honest with you, a king is not in charge of his life and his affairs and his honor. A king is subject to the will of the people. And a king very seldom stands up as a king totally disregarding the people, being himself as a king. Some kings did this, and people didn't like them. They beheaded them. But the thing is, if you act like that, then you act like something superior to the people, and the people soon find that they don't want anything to do with you. Because they don't. Now, when the Queen of England walks into a room, she walks in with dignity and charm. She doesn't wear her tiara and her crown and every... She walks into any social gathering, she's got a crown on, you know. People think, what an ostentatious person, you know. What a disgusting person. When Princess Diane walked in a room, her charisma was so fantastic. It was her crown. It was her royalty. People looked at her and said, what a lady. What a beautiful representative of the royal household. Just think it. If she could have ended up being queen, what kind of a royalty the Great Britain would have had. Wouldn't that have been something? Yes?
But if you rule with love, because Diana has love, if you rule with love in your family, like you, in your family, you are the head, you are in charge, but you are managing your affairs of your family, your children, your wife, with love, but you are still in charge. Is it not okay? Now,
I said a word the other day that I wasn't going to say again, but I'll say it now. Shit. Who needs to have a ruler in their house? Who needs to have the head of the house? Who needs to have the one who makes all the rules and does all the things? The family should be a family affair. The family should be where the family unites together and determines what rules they're going to follow and have. And they're usually made out quite nicely. When you let the people make up their own rules, they're terrible. They make up pretty strong rules. They did this on campus. I didn't make the rules for the monks. They made the rules. And they made the rules so tough that it was just too hard. I said, do it again. Make them not so tough. But no. Daddy walks in the door. Morning, Daddy. Evening, Daddy. Glad you're here, Daddy. What should we do, Daddy? Daddy, I did what you told me to. I did this. And I mean, that is terrible. That's not love. If Daddy walks into the house and the kids say, Daddy, you're home. Oh, you're wonderful. And they love you to pieces. Not because you are the dictator, or not because you're the ruler, not because you are the one who tells them what they must do, but because you unconditionally love your family. And you love them very much. No, I'm not against what you said. I'm only pointing out that if you say that, it indicates the type of personality that you are and the way that you're going to run and rule your universe. Do people come up to you and say, oh, you have unconditional love. You are so thoughtful, so loving, so kind. You know how to make a person feel just wonderful. Or do people come up to you and say, well, I certainly know where I stand with you. You have discipline and you have rules, and I certainly know where I stand with you and your rules. You know, and that's not a very comfortable way to do it, is it? So, but again, be careful that you come across as unconditionally loving. At least that's the way I would teach you. Because if you come across as the boss or as the dictator, somebody's going to take you down. Somebody's going to cut the pedestal right out from under you, and somebody's going to cut your throat. Yes. Your own family's going to say, I wish he had a sore throat and he couldn't talk so much. I wish he this, I wish he that, you know? And then it comes to pass. But you don't want that. You want to be so loving as an individual that anywhere in your world, you are Mr. Love. And when you're dealing, when you're dealing with people, they just come up to you and say, you always come up with a thoughtful answer. You must have the most loving home in the world. You know, you're so sensitive, you're so caring, you're so understanding, and you're not understanding. You're principle. You give out love, you get back love. You give out honesty and integrity, happiness and forthrightness, and you get it back. That's the rule that it goes by. Now, these are the things that I did with children. And they worked just beautifully over the years. And those children are still living up to those things. I have some of them coming up to me even now. And they say, man, I sure learned a lot when I was with you. I sure learned a lot. What'd you learn? I learned to love myself. That's nice. And better, I learned to respect my mom and dad. Not because they're my mom and dad, but because they're my elders. And I always respect my elders. Not because they're intelligent, or not because they do things right. It's just the proper thing to do, to respect my elders. And that shows that I respect myself. And that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. And now, we speak our word, I am whole and perfect. And that is part of the stem cell program that we have enunciated this week. The stem cells are waiting, and that's serious business. They're really waiting. They have been waiting for years. They go off and get messed up, and then a new group come along. They go off and get messed up, new group come. They go off and get messed up because there's nobody there to tell them what to do. Nobody there to say, hey, you guys, welcome aboard. Welcome home. Now, I got a job for you, and I know it's one you love. Go in and make a clean sweep and bring to it the original purity and integrity every cell that you get near. It's, you express its original purity and integrity, no matter what cell it is. And you just go on through the body and throughout the mind and throughout the spirit, throughout my entire beingness, my entire life. I am all. And so the stem cells are bringing all to its original purity and integrity. All. Where it could be anywhere in the isness. And you see, when you do that, wow. At first, you don't realize how great it is. But then after a while, you subtly begin to realize, hey, I did that. I did that. My spoken word brought that about. Maybe you may never know that. You may never recognize your spoken word brought those things about. But if you are alert and tuned, you'll find out that you do know that it brought it about. Now, do you want to be the kind of person that Princess Di is? Or you want to be the kind of person that Mussolini or Hitler was, you know? Do you want to be the kind of person that Churchill was? No. Churchill was a big fake, you know?
Yes.
He's a nice guy, but he's a big fake. And he played his game very well. And he certainly wrote very well. I enjoyed his writing very well. But he's a big fake. Now, why was he a fake? Because he didn't respect himself. He was like President Roosevelt, always smoking his cigarettes and his long thing there with his polio and other things that kept him in his wheelchair. And they all had their challenges. And they played their challenges in sympathy with the people to get what they wanted. And that's an unfair thing to do. And those men who did things of greatness and should have been remembered as greatness are always remembered as having been not so great, as having stubbed their toe in a very negative way. And Winston Churchill, how did he stub his toe? He stubbed his toe because he was willing to negotiate with the enemy on a number of different points that was not acceptable, allowing them to continue in existence doing things that they did that were totally anti-human. And you just can't do that. You cannot sell your principle just to get a few years off of war. You cannot do that. You shouldn't have the war in the first place. But you can't sell your principle just to make the war less heinous, less difficult. But this is what they did. And Roosevelt did the same thing. And they play that down now, because that's past. But historians will know that it's there, and it'll always be there. You must always tell the truth. You must always live in honesty and integrity. You must always be who you are. And when you are, you'll never have to make excuses for anything. And though you may have been blamed for something you didn't do, you stand up and take the whipping for it. And you don't say, I hate it. But you just stand up. And when all your life you're going to have that thrown over your head as a threat, because people say, I know what you did, I know where you were. And then you just say, so do I. Now, what wouldst thou of me? You know, I did my thing, I did it honestly. Well, you did that? No, I didn't do that, but I kept charged for it, so that's no big deal. You see, when you can let these things go and not be all worried about it, because everybody has their Achilles heel. Everyone has their area where they have been brought to task on various things, and they had to be so strong and stand up for it. Now, are you able to stand up for your principle, whatever it may be? Is your principle being unconditionally loving?
Yes. Yes.
My staff on campus of over 30 years, and my son and my friends and my world, they stand by me on all of the philosophy and everything else I've done on my life, on everything that I am, all these years. And they stand by not because that I made them do it or something, but because they believe in me. And they believe in me because they believe in themselves. And they believe in themselves because they are wonderful. And I am wonderful. And I like me. And I like me. And I have lots of fun. But be very careful, because somebody's going to always come and try to pull the bridge out from under you, pull the table out from under you. And when they do, you just jump and land on the floor comfortably. No problem. No problem. I always during the war, we were in battle situations, and I knew death, and I knew guns and all that stuff. But when I had the church in Andromeda, the lady who was on the board of directors used to be with the she was a lady from Red, but she was 70 some years old, and she handled all the liquor accounts in Minneapolis and St. Paul and stuff. She was quite a lady, but she wanted me to go with her as her gigolo as she went around visiting her friends in the evening. And I told her, she didn't say that. She said she wanted me to meet the members of our church. So I went with her for about a week, and it was every bar in town. Every bar in town. And I really was not very happy about it. I said to her, I have to get up in the morning and do my church work and go and meet my parishioners and go and do these things. And I said, if I'm out all night with you, I said, I can't handle that. I said, you can sleep in. I can't. I got to get up and get going. And so she said, well. And so she sent one of her men, who was a member of the mafia, over to see me. And he came over and to see me at my office. I was very surprised. Edith Mary Sanderson was there, and her father, and a few other people. And so he said, Herb, I want to talk to you. And he and his girlfriend were having trouble with their relationship life. And I worked with them both for a number of weeks and helped them seriously. And they overcame their problems, and they're the superest friends. And they liked me. So he took me upstairs to my offices, and he says, I want you to leave the church. And I said, oh? I said, well, if the board asks me to leave, I'll leave. I'm getting $100,000 a year, you know. If the board asks me to leave, I'll leave. Or if the membership asks me to leave, I'll leave. But just having one person say I should leave, no. He said, well, you got to leave. Well, here's $15,000. I said, you're kidding, aren't you? You know. And then he said, well, if you don't leave, he said, I'll shoot you. So he took out his gun, put it to my forehead, and he said, I'll shoot you. And I said, well, you got the gun. I mean, there's nothing I can do. If you want to shoot me, shoot me. If you don't, that's okay. But, you know, if you shoot me, I'm dead, and then you're in trouble, because they'll chase you all over trying to find you and put you in jail and do all those things. But that's up to you. And so he said, you know, And then he said, well, I will get after the daughters of some of our congregational people, some of our members. And I said, that's stupid. He said, no, no, this is part of my job. He said, that's what I will do if you don't leave. And I said, well, tomorrow's Sunday, I'll give my sermon and I'll tell them I'm leaving, and I'll leave. But don't do anything to my friends, you know. So I announced it in church. Well, one of our board members was a deputy sheriff, another one was an undertaker, and another one was this Thorpe. And so that was just fantastic. So I told him, and so everybody came in and said, no, you're not leaving, we love you, da 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 da. And I said, well, he's going to shoot me, you know, he said I should go and stuff. And so that night, he went into a bar in St. Paul, and he shot the owner and killed him dead. Boom, 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 you know. And they found him and put him in. And then they wanted me to speak against him, saying that he did that to me. And I said, no way. You know, you don't go speaking against something like the mafia and stuff like that. No way. So I told him, no way. I wasn't afraid of him. I said, that wasn't very nice what he did, but I wasn't afraid of him. I just didn't want him to do what he said he would do to the parishioners. And so then they put him in jail, and he was in jail 2 days. They knew he did the shooting, and then they let him out. The control of the mafia released him, and he was free and on the street again. And he came to see me, and I said, his name is Fred Hayes. I said, Fred, you are crazy. Associating with an organization that has you shoot people and do things, I said, that's not nice at all. I said, you are going to be very unhappy doing this sort of thing, even though you've been doing it for years. And he says, I'm unhappy now. He said, will you help me to not do it anymore? That's sure. So I worked with him, and I worked with him over the years, and many beautiful things came from working with him. But you see, you got to stand up for yourself and your principle. When you stand up for it, then you may look like a fool, you may get shot, you may have all sorts of things happen, but inside of you, you know that nothing could make you speak contrary to what you know and believe is true. And I recommend to all of you that you live the principle in everything you do. And just remember, a gun can only take your life, but when you lie, it takes your integrity and it takes your principle, and that is worth more than any life could ever be. It's been a joy and an honor and a privilege to present this seminar to you, and I am so delighted every time I come to Nigeria. I feel like I'm back home with some very precious people that I really love very much, all of you, and all of the other guys who are here and around that come and go, and all of you are just fantastic. And I think that Seville and Sam have been something very special in my life, and they will continue as long as well as the rest of you people who become students. I love you and honor you and respect you, and I'm always here for you. I'm always here if you have any questions. You know my email address. Seville has it, Sam has it, and glad to give it to you. My email hasn't been working lately, but I'll get that in order again. I got three of them, and all will work out. But I'm here for you, because I'm here for me, and I love me, and I love you.